this present I experienced in the last 10 days is that you can get through in 5 minutes sometimes, and sometimes it takes a long time, but chances are pretty good you could get through in a hurry, but you can't depend on it.
We could add a sentence: if communications fail, and in your opinion, Pallas will fall without emergency action, you are authorized to act.
I would do that, and I have grave doubts. What are we going to know?
Exactly my question.
Later, that we don't know now. The whole question now is: do we feel like that we could let the Pallas fall?
I think the truth is, Mr. President, that both Dean and Bob have some uncertainty about Pat Bennett's judgment, and are not absolutely certain that Palmer would have an independent judgment if Bennett felt, God damn it, we've got to act, and they would like to have this much of a break on him. I put to them exactly that question, saying, can we really get the button up here? If we get a recommendation from them saying we have to act to save the palace, what can we say but yes?
What'd they say?
Well, they said they could at least ask about how much firing there was and try to get some picture of the situation on the scene, and they weren't... Bob just felt that he wanted to have that much of a break on it. It is true that if our people used a thin excuse for a lot of shooting and killed a lot of people, and if the OAS postmortem was the Americans were trigger-happy, we would be in trouble. How much trouble and how long would depend, of course, on the exact...
Our side really never gets over, though. I see Life magazine has sent in, at Palmer's request, huge pictures showing our distribution of food, and they're wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
If they'd just been in the papers, it'd be good. But I just watched the TV shows tonight, and the CBS reporter from down there... just said we run wild through the rebel zones and just invite people to shoot us and just try to stir up trouble. And we're just mean sons of bitches and outlaws, and they're nice, virtuous maidens.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why we don't do a better job with them, but I guess they like to be against the...
Well, did you see the dispatch about how terribly harried our embassy people are by press down there? They're all asking for incontrovertible proof of something which has to do with the state of mind of a lot of people who are in hiding. And they're asking for us to prove the kind of thing we had a hell of a time proving when we had U-2 pictures of missiles. And this is simply the natural skepticism of the U.S. press that we're coping with here, and it's going to be a long, slow, uphill fight. We've just got to keep at it. We are sending extra officers down there for the purpose of care and feeding of the press. I don't blame Bennett a bit. He's goddamn it stuck with the war, and he's got 100 raving reporters who want him to prove he's not a bastard every day. Well, we'll add this one sentence. While I've got you, Mr. President, Dean has done a very good question and answer, Dean Rusk with John Hightower, for the AP Wire for Sunday papers. The one question that I think you ought to pass on yourself is the question that asks him whether you have set up a Johnson Doctrine. He says that this is the President's statement was deeply rooted in the declared policy of the hemisphere, followed rather closely the formally adopted statements of the foreign ministers of the hemisphere at Punta del Este in 62, when they declared the principles of communism are incompatible with the principles of the American system. And adherence by any member of the Organization of American States to Marxism-Leninism is incompatible with the inter-American system, and the alignment of such a government with the communist bloc breaks the unity and solidarity of the hemisphere. This is not a Johnson doctrine, but rather OAS doctrine. Now, you could cut that last sentence if you wanted to, because there may come a time when you'd want to frame this thing in exactly the language you want and let people call it a Johnson doctrine. And I just thought you ought to be the judge.
I don't care about calling one, but I wouldn't say it wasn't. I would cut the sentence.
All right, sir, that's just what I needed to
know. I think that he's approached it the right way.
So do I.
But damn sure, as long as I'm president, I'm going to sit on my tail and let them take over anything.
Yes, and I suspect this is becoming visible, Mr. President.
Okay.
Mr. President, before we leave this telegram, just one question that just occurred to me. There's one danger, it seems to me, in the trigger pulling here. That is that they would act on some telephonic estimate from within the palace.
Yes, it has to be their direct evidence. We would both agree on that.
I think
that
we might put in an extra paragraph saying that they should...
You are fully satisfied by direct evidence and not simply by telephonic reports.
I think that'd be good.
That would mean a helicopter, a visual look at it.
Yeah, I think that'd be good.
All right, sir. Okay.
Tom, I sure think that you ought to have all the help that this fellow can get to bunker, and they ought to be letting these folks know about them firing on them all day, and we ought to let them know.
I told Bunker about this problem, and he said he would take.
Do you have anybody helping him? Does he just have to?
Oh, you know, he has a staff. He has two or three young officers over there.
Okay.
All right, sir.
Anything else?
That's all. That's all I have. I did a question and answer with the New York Times.
Yeah.
I hope it turns out the way you want it.
Well, were they rough with you?
No, I think it turned out pretty good from my point of view.
They did the same thing Hightower did. They gave us control of our answers. And
question and answer.
Who did it?
Frankel. Frankel is his name, I think, of the New York Times.
Okay.
Okay.